and welcome back to episode 9 of It's Been a Week. It's always been a week, Alicia.
As always, Jack. It sure has been a week. And you have a big week ahead. Mm. Will you be getting your sparkle on?
So I was lucky enough to get some free tickets for myself and my 10-year-old daughter to Harry Styles. And I haven't been to a concert since the Spice Girls came to Melbourne.
Probably it's been a while.
Trying to think what year that was. It was probably 2000, maybe. It's actually been 20 years, more than two decades, I think, since they came to Melbourne. I remember we queued up outside Crown Casino and waved at them. It was so embarrassing. Anyway, yes, I'm going to my first concert in 20 years with Maddie, her first concert. And it turns out what you wear to Harry Styles is like a thing. And do you wear sparkles? Feather boas across Melbourne have sold out. And I put it on my Insta and all these parents are messaging me going, I've spent 12 hours sewing an outfit for my daughter to go to Harry Styles. I haven't even bought my daughter an outfit, so now I'm going to have to nip down to Chapel Street.
Yeah, you're off after this. You need to impress. Dress to impress, I'd say.
I think we're showing our age, though, when we don't realise, when we don't know what to wear to a concert, because I thought you just wore jeans.
Well, I didn't even know you had to dress up to go to a concert.
I think it's a tribute to Harry. Yeah. Sam, are you a Harry Styles fan?
I am. I'm a big fan of his.
Would you wear a sequin jumpsuit?
I think if I was going to his concert, I would probably get in the mix for sure.
This is like a full thing. Yeah. Like we know what to wear to the races. We generally know what to wear in life by the time we're 40, but I'm absolutely stumped.
But I wonder, because we've had a bit of a chat about this before we started recording, whether some people are saying, do it for Maddie, she'll love it. But I'm sort of sitting here thinking, is she going to be embarrassed by you? Are you going to be embarrassment of the week?
In her mind, I am most definitely not a cool mum. I think I'm a cool mum, but in her mind, I'm a loser.
If you dress up, you'll be the cool mum because you don't want to be that person. You used to go to school and it was a casual clothes day and someone wore their uniform and they were the odd one out.
See, I don't do fancy dress. You do fancy dress.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be
You're a freak for it, aren't you?
I love it. But I just think, I don't know, maybe ask her first whether she wants mum to wear sequins.
Yes, next week I'll report back as to whether I was utterly humiliated at Harry Styles or not. But if you're a parent out there, what are you going to wear? Let me know. Slide into the DMs. This week we're going to chat about this really bizarre increase in car fires. What's going on? Some shark sightings around the bay in Melbourne. And speaking of the bay, Henry has left us. Will he return?
The disappearing life stage, you've got a few things to say about this. I've got a few things to say about the new male contraceptive that's apparently being developed. And has Madeleine McCann been found? I'm intrigued by this
Not
one.
Not likely. We're also going to take a look at Tiger Woods and another immature thing he's done recently. But let's start with the car fires. There have been scores of them in Melbourne over the last few weeks. And I've been sent all this vision of cars literally in flames on the side of the freeway, on the side of the road. Why is it happening? At the moment, there's this huge payout in the US, a $2 billion payout after Hyundai's caught fire. And actually in the US, 100 people were injured and one person died. And there's actually a class action in Australia as well involving Hyundai and Kia engine failures. Are we just reporting them more? Everyone has an iPhone, or do you think it's actually a real thing?
Well, I had a little read about this as well, and it's interesting you speak about the US because apparently there has also been a huge spike in house fires because what's happening is people are parking their car in their garages and then during the night the car's gotten wet, whether it be from a flood or a hurricane or something like that, and it's sparked a fire in the garage, but then it's burning down houses as well.
Well, we spoke to a mechanic and one of the things I thought is because during COVID we just left our cars sitting there and another interesting point that someone made to me as well is can people actually afford to get their car serviced now?
It's
is it something
expensive
that you put off when your rent has gone up, when your interest rates have gone up, when the cost of living has gone up, so the car's kind of gone by the wayside? Anyway, take a listen to this.
I don't think it's been happening more or less. Cars have always been catching on fire as a common occurrence. There's a lot of vehicles that have manufacturing defects. These should have been recalled to be fixed. However, I feel a lot of owners don't know this or shrug it off. People not servicing is another factor.
So who knew? Just the slightest thing can set your car off, it seems. And it makes you think maybe I should look under the bonnet a little bit more.
But would you know what to look for?
Well, I'd know if there were leaves in there because one of the mechanics that I spoke to said, look, you know, you really need to check it more often than what the average person does. I used to be able to change a tire on my first car, I think my dad was like, you need to learn how to change a tire. But it was a really basic car, whereas now cars are there's so much more technologically advanced, and I don't think I'd know how to change a tire now. Mm. One of mine's the blow-up tire.
No,
too.
I would have no idea.
What about you? Can you change a tire?
No, I can change a tire. It's one of the few things I can do with a car.
It's a rite of passage. You need to know how to do it.
It is. I learned from probably 18 or 19, just in the driveway.
Yeah.
And speaking,
I can't imagine you changing a tire, to be honest.
I can't imagine myself changing a tire. Speaking of electric cars.
Yes.
One of my girlfriends came over on the weekend and she was talking about how, you know, doing her bit for the environment, she needs an upgrade. I'm thinking of getting an electric car, she said. She went and had a look at some of them and she was sitting inside one and she had a little feel of the leather on the seats and she said to the salesman, Can I get leather? And he said, oh, no, a lot of the electric cars now, because everyone is about, you know, environmentally friendly decisions, it's actually pleather.
Yes, but they call it vegan leather.
They don't call it pleather. Price.
Yes. Actually, I drove a Tesla the other day just because a friend has one. And I actually felt a bit unnerved sitting in it. I didn't like, because you can't hear it.
Yeah.
They're really quiet. And I think coming from driving bigger cars, it's definitely an adjustment.
Yeah, well, there we go. That's the adjustment on the inside as well.
I wanted to touch on as well sharks in the bay. So three popular Melbourne beaches were closed just this weekend alone because of shark sightings. And they actually have a shark siren in the bay. And there was a guy like on the megaphone like, get out of the water, there's a shark.
Yeah, we were swimming in the ocean on Sunday actually and I didn't realise that there'd been a shark until
right
we
near
came,
where you were
yeah,
too.
Yeah, back Morty into shore. But I am from South Australia.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm
home of the shark.
I am all over the shark. I mean, I've spent many summers, you know, swimming in the water. There's shark sirens. I've been in the water with my children, there's been shark sirens, get out, and they're great whites, like they're the real deal.
This was
sort
not
of thing.
A great white.
Yeah, this was a tiny little shark. I don't know why, but they don't frighten me, not like the snake. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole different animal. But yeah, sharks, they don't bother me. I just think if I can see the water, I don't know, maybe I'm a little too laxy-daisy, but then they don't worry me.
Well, we spoke to Dr. Kate from the Marine Mammal Foundation. She's our favourite marine biologist.
She is.
And here's what she had to say about our bay sharks.
It's not out of the ordinary to have sharks in the bay and the oceans. It's their home. So we need to be reasonable and respectful with our response. This little shark is a confirmed juvenile blue shark. They grow to around about 3.8 metres, so the one spotted recently is just a juvenile and most likely chasing small fish into the shallows. From research, there's been about 7 fatal shark attacks in Port Phillip Bay in 185 years since Melbourne was settled, and none for 85 years. In all my years on the water undertaking marine mammal research and diving, I'm yet to actually see a shark. So it's quite a rare occurrence to have them so close to shore.
So that little shark, as she said, was a blue shark. But I found it interesting that there actually have been 7 fatal shark attacks in the bay, but obviously not for a long time.
Yeah, and why is that? Because the water's warmer now or what? It has to be something to
do with
that.
We've got shark planes now, like a shark helicopter. The helicopter came along the beach in the bay over the weekend. We're more vigilant about it.
Maybe.
We fish the bay more, so there's probably fewer sharks in the bay. Like, I mean, we get our flake from the bay, don't we? Mm. So, and as Kate said, it's their home, so we kind of have to get out of their way, don't we?
Yeah.
And speaking of the bay, my favourite bay creature, of course, Henry the Seal left us last week. I'm a bit heartbroken. I don't think I've ever covered any story I've been more invested in.
Everyone was invested in him.
It was his vibe, how he just didn't care.
No.
Did you enjoy following him?
Oh, it was great. And I actually got to see him live down in...
Did you go to see him live?
I was in Portland. So
that's not Henry, that's the other one.
But it was the other one.
Yeah.
So I actually got to see one of them in action and it was like it took me by surprise how the size of it. And
really?
It was really cool.
Because
really
I still laugh at that vision with him sort of cruising up the footpath and all these kids like, oh, my God, what is that? So he's gone back to Antarctica. But will he come back?
Our beloved Henry, the elephant seal that has been hauling out in southern Port Phillip Bay, has now undergone his catastrophic molt and has left the beach. The catastrophic molt sees elephant seals lose all of their fur and the top layer of skin. Now, people watching Henry would have seen visible chunks of that fur molting, and this happens annually and is one of the main reasons Ellie's haul out. Henry will now spend most of his time at sea and will most likely head back to one of the main subpopulations in sub-Antarctic islands like Heard and Macquarie Island. Now, Ellie's do this molt each year, so it may be likely that Henry will return again next year, but it's definitely not guaranteed. The original Henry that used to haul out near Geelong in the early 2000s did so each year for a few years as a juvenile. As they get older, male Ellies start to battle to become beachmasters on these breeding colonies, and the beachmaster has a harem of female that he guards for mating. So this will most likely become Henry's focus as he gets older. And as there's no lady Ellies up here for him, I would say he will remain south.
He is chasing the chicks.
He is chasing the chicks, but also if he doesn't find a chick, because apparently it takes them a while, he might come back. And if he can he please come back? This is going to make my summer if he comes back.
Well, she said
next year.
Often they come back to the same place, so we might be.
And you know what? He was having a really good time in Blairgowrie. He was quite set up in there and enjoying himself there near the little boats set up every day.
He liked Blairgowrie more than Point
Lonsdale,
didn't he?
Because he nicked off from Point Lonsdale, didn't he?
Point Lonsdale, he was vandalising.
He went to the servo. He didn't like what they had on offer at the local BP. And he hightailed it to the other side of the bay.
That's so Melbourne. You're sort of either Mornington
Peninsula
or you're the other side. So I can see where he's coming from.
He was a Portsea kind of guy, wasn't he? Yes. You wanted to talk this week, we both did actually, about midlife. Sex and the City reboot, was the women involved in that are now the same age as the women who played the Golden Girls.
That took me by surprise because I am a huge Sex and the City fan and when that was presented to me in the same sentence, it freaked me out.
Middle-aged, do you feel like you're middle-aged? Because 40 used to be middle-aged. You're not 40 yet,
I'm not,
but you're nearly
there.
Yes. You're nearly there.
I feel like if you're in your 40s, you say you're middle-aged. If you're in your 50s, you say you're middle-aged. My parents are in their 60s. I feel like if I ask them, they'd say, yeah, I'm middle-aged. I just feel like everyone up until maybe 80 feels like they're middle-aged.
The Guardian said this week that the Collins English Dictionary defines middle age as the period in your life where you are no longer young but not yet old. I feel like that's me right now. I'm definitely no longer young when I've learnt that I don't know what to wear to Harry Styles.
Yes, yes. Although, Sam, you surely would not classify yourself as middle-aged,
no,
would you?
I would say I'm just before that.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
He's 28.
Yeah, 28.
Oh, that's young.
Remember, he's born in the 90s.
Yeah, I was born in 94.
Fabo. Yeah. Sounds great. Well, they do say growing old is a privilege, so we must embrace our aging.
We have children later now. So
that's
I think
true.
That's something else to sort of consider.
And you need to set yourself up with you want to go to uni. Not everyone, but a lot of people do. You want to get a house maybe before you have your family. You sort of turn
I also
the
think people are a bit too picky now. I think.
Picky about partners? Or?
Yeah, we just sort of settled down and had kids. And
we settled. Did we settle?
Maybe.
People our age?
Are they listening again?
Yeah, you're too picky.
Okay,
no, he's got the wonderful
Clara.
No, not you specifically. Yeah, I just feel like people are a lot more sort of invested in going to settle down and marry these days. Whereas our parents, I mean, they got married so young and they had children, most of them in their 20s. Mm. I feel like our generation was more in our 30s. Sam's is probably going to be more in their 40s.
That's true. But I guess the one thing about that is leaving to have kids later, it's harder to have them. I'm tired now. And my child is 10.
I'm the walking dead, basically, this week.
Speaking of staying young, you were a big Roald Dahl fan.
Yeah, so when I was young, they were actually
What was
my
your
favourite
book? The Twits was mine.
It would have to be Matilda. And now I'm reliving it with my daughter and the Matilda musical
the
on Netflix.
Yeah.
She's all over it. We're just watching it again and again and again. But it was announced this week that some of the words from his book are being changed. Mm. Now, these are just words like, and we're going to disagree a bit on this. Really? I can feel it. These are just words like fat, ugly, crazy. They're being taken out or they're being changed altogether. So there's no more mothers and fathers. It's just parents. A rep from the company, from the Roald Dahl Story Company, said it wasn't unusual to review language when publishing new print runs, which it's not. However, I feel like this is too much. I feel like removing the words you're trying to remove it from children's worlds.
Yeah, but that
I don't think is a good idea.
Well, I do if the word's offensive, because I think with this instance as well, and the family of Roald Dahl also were across this too, if it doesn't change the meaning of the story and the word is offensive to a group of people, again, it's hard for us to sit here because we come from this position of privilege where we're not any of these things, right? But if you are one of these things, whether it be that you're black, for example, and you look back at Enid Blyton and her books, some of the things that were depicted in those books, I wouldn't want my kids to say or learn about. So I think here they've gone through, and the fat thing that's been the example is Augustus Gloop from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So it's hard for us to sit here. We are not fat and our kids are not fat, right? But imagine if your child is, and that child is presented as this kid that's overeating and he's overindulging and he's just a spoiled brat, right? So it's negative connotation. So you take out that word that may be repeated in the playground and it's not changing the meaning of the story. Mm. It's not changing the narrative that was written, but it's perhaps making a child that maybe feels that way feel better and feel represented in a more positive light.
But they've left in enormous. So if you're going to go and say, oh, look at you, little Charlie over there, you're enormous.
But a child doesn't use that word, right? But a child might use the word fat.
Well, they will now because there's no fat.
There's connotations with the word fat though. And I think it's, again, it's really hard to imagine what it's like if you're a kid and you're bullied and you are, maybe you have an eating disorder, for example, and they use that word. So I think I can see where they're coming from. And I did think it was interesting this week that Andy Griffiths, who's the popular Australian children's author, he came out and argued that the changes were minimal and they didn't change the fundamental story. And also the books that he'd written in the past, he actually looks back and cringes a little at some of the words he's written. And nowadays, looks at it with a different light. And I think times have changed. Disney are another big company that went through Dumbo was another example where they've changed some of the wording and in the cartoon and in the books to better reflect society today.
I don't have a problem with it changing, you know, whether it changes the narrative of the book or the storyline, but I think children need to be taught things. And I think by removing things from books or removing instances, they're not going to learn. So that's my issue with it. I think children...
But we're removing words that are offensive, though, to people.
But mothers and fathers is not offensive.
But they're not removing them everywhere. They're just removing them in some books.
In all of the Roald Dahl books, they are now parents. And I just think, I mean, that's one example. But I think children do need to be exposed to things so they become resilient. I believe that as a mother, that you need to teach your child things. And if they're reading something in a book... One, they're old enough to read the book, so they should be able to distinguish that this is something happening in a book, not in real life. And two, they need to read things to go, okay, this happened, and whether they're having a chat with it or a chat with their parent about it or their brother or sister, and that's cue where the parent comes in. That's our role as parents, to teach children wrong and right, not to just remove everything and hide it all and, oh, no, they're not allowed to be exposed to that because they won't learn anything.
But I think it's the connotation that these books were written in and the way that these characters are presented. They're presented in a negative light. So these words are associated with negativity rather than positivity.
Enormous is still enormous. It's still a large child.
I just don't have a problem with it. I think if we can teach our children to be kinder and we look back, as I said, I grew up reading Enid Blyton books and I think about some of the things that were naughty.
That's different.
It's the same thing. Like all those books are actually, a lot of those books we don't see on shelves anymore for that very reason.
Yeah, but not specific little words. Like, I mean, ugly to me, I don't think that we need to remove it from a book because then my child's going to go and call someone ugly. You can say, you know, there's an ugly situation unfolding or, you know what, this is, you know, this mess is ugly. It needs to be cleaned up. Like, it's just life. I just think it's gone too far now.
I think a lot of those Roald Dahl books, with the benefit of hindsight and the glare of history, they don't come across as well as what they should. And if you look at Matilda, you can change that just a little. You don't lose the fundamental premise of the story, but perhaps it's a kinder thing to do for people that feel like they've been poorly represented. But I think it's good. We always agree to disagree, don't we? Do you want to talk about something else?
Yes, we're going to pivot
quite a long way from where we really were.
We really are right now. So, Jack, scientists. I mean, I hope I bring up one of my children to be a scientist because they're very smart, extremely clever people, and we do value the work that they do. But I feel like the poor scientists are wasting their time on this one. during the week, there's a story about a heap of scientists working very hard to develop a male contraceptive. It stops sperm from swimming into the egg and obviously entering it. However, it has to be taken 30 minutes to an hour before sexual
intercourse. You've got to pre-plan it.
Would you trust your husband to take a male contraceptive?
Look, to be honest, I don't trust him with much.
Exactly. If I trusted my husband, we would have 200 babies. So I just think it's a lost cause. There's so much money being spent on it. These people are so clever.
Is it also, though, from the man's point of view, if, say, you're not in a relationship and you want to take a contraceptive, so...
But how does that work? Oh, it's only been 28 minutes. We need to do a few more things before...
Well, maybe...
Sam, enlighten us. Would you use
Sam
it?
Sam does not want a part of this conversation.
Oh, he might.
Well, is it because, say, women are generally the ones that have to take contraceptives?
Yeah.
Is it now
the load?
Has to do it and share the load?
I'm sure
men
that's
have the
intent.
Snip all the time though.
Yeah, later in life. But what I'm saying is that is a solution. This contraceptive that needs to be taken 30 minutes to an hour before.
Is that what men do? I mean, look, I don't know. But with Viagra, they have to take that before as well. So they do pre-plan for that. Or do they not? I don't know.
I'm sure they pre-plan want to, Jack. When they want to, they pre-plan.
They don't want to plan for the contraceptive.
I think
it's good to give more men responsibility, but I personally would always want that to be my responsibility because it's my body. But maybe, as you say, men like the idea that it's their body and they're preparing themselves for that too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to. Yeah,
I'd love
to
look into it a bit more so I can provide
you
guys with a bit
more
detail. You
would love to not look into it a bit
more. I think
more.
They should,
I can tell
they should definitely work on something else, please.
You wanted to briefly look at Maddie McCann, one of the saddest stories.
It just really...
One we really grew up with too.
We grew up with it. It still remains a mystery. There's now a young girl in Poland who's claiming to be her. She started a social media account and she shows some... quite strong physical similarities. The family has now agreed to do a DNA test, which I think is great because this social media account has been going for quite a few months now, and I think it's quite polarizing. Some people think she's an absolute nut job and some people think, no, she could be onto something. So let's do the DNA test and then we can all move on, because at the moment there's a lot of commentary in the media about it. There'd obviously be hope from the family.
It's one of those really clickbaity stories too, which I hate about it as well. Like, I just think it's just a bit...
Oh,
it's
I'm
a bit
intrigued.
Grubby.
So just quickly, for those listeners that don't know the full story with Madeleine McCann, you don't have to go into it too much now, but just a brief summary of what did happen when
she
disappeared.
So her parents were on holiday in Spain.
Yeah.
It was Spain, I think it
and
was.
She,
yeah, and she, they went out within the resort, left her in the resort, came back to the room. She wasn't there.
Window was open.
She'd never been seen from since. But there's been, I mean, there was a person in Germany who, is still involved there's still questions about his involvement in her disappearance. But it's one of those worldwide mysteries, a bit like the Beaumont children in Australia where never find out what happened to them. And it's just dreadful for the family. And her parents having fronted the media and also the judgment of her parents.
Her parents have
for
spent
such a long
23,
time. Kate and Terry McCann, I think.
They've spent $23 million trying to find their daughter. I mean, as you would, but it's an extraordinary amount of money. And you know, they
I just think anyone that goes public claiming to be someone is generally not that person.
Well, look, she mightn't be her, but she might be. You never know.
I know you're very captivated by that one.
I like it.
One thing that grabbed my attention this week is Tiger Woods. Oh. He's coming off a low base here, but there's a still photo and some vision of him handing a tampon to Justin Thomas, who's also a pro golfer. Basically implying that it was a joke. Oh. So he's implying, therefore, that you hit like a girl, you strike the ball
like a girl.
You're
playing
like
a woman.
Exactly. It's the same old joke. He has daughters. What a misogynistic piece of...
disgusting. And you know what? Gross. He's apologised.
Also the apology. I'm sorry if I offended anyone.
Of course you offended every single female in the world.
It's not an apology though.
But it's also
if I offended you, then I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you're either sorry because you did the wrong thing.
I mean,
or you're not.
I said to you, Jack, earlier, I remember when I was at Channel 7 working as a reporter, I covered him and it was just time. I'll never get back, which sounds ridiculous, but honestly, he's just a pest of a person. Who does that in this day and age? As I said, surely
I
every female would be offended by that.
I just think you're behaving like a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, grow up.
What it does take away from is it's one of the great sporting comebacks of all time, the fact that he still plays golf at this level and you're still behaving like a real brat.
And sponsor-wise, I think from a PR point of view, I mean, they would surely...
They don't seem to care, do they?
Well, we say that.
He doesn't need them anymore.
No, he should. He needs to go away. That's it. And we're not even going to talk about him anymore.
No, no. And he is an embarrassment, is he not? So yes. Let's get to the embarrassment of the week.
That's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
And it's yours this week.
It's a good one, kind of mine. I mean, we had a heap of people DM us about where they didn't want to be seen after last week. A friend's husband was seen in the waiting room at my anti-wrinkle facility.
Getting your face full of Botox.
We had quite a few people. We've chosen three, so we thought we might just whip through them quickly.
I love this.
So the first one was someone who said their mum went to a nudist beach in Queensland thinking, you know, she just let it all out, have a little bit of a good time there. And, right next to her, bumped into her next door neighbour from Melbourne, right next to her.
Yeah. I don't do a nudist beach. Not for me.
I mean, no.
Each their own, enjoy it.
Yeah, but, I don't think I.
No. And your next one?
Someone else said they went to get a colonic. And it was the night.
People still doing those.
Well, this woman is. Mm. Went to get a little clean out and her son had just started a new school the day before and she was on the bed ready for the colonic and in walked the doctor who was a dad from the school drinks the night
before.
You
would die.
She did. But she said she went through with it.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be getting it in the first
place. And the last one was a listener who was in a sex shop.
Is this our three votes? Was that our 1-2 and this is our three votes?
And there she was at the counter, her mother-in-law buying a vibrator.
I think
they both would have died.
Well, you wouldn't be Sarah kind of hightail it out there. You wouldn't exactly
You wouldn't be expecting to see her though. This is the thing.
People you don't want to see in certain places in life, that's one of them.
And it always happens. This is Murphy's
This is
law.
The thing. It's not on.
You've got to be joking.
This is not on. It's not on.
And another thing is not on that's not on.
This
is
so
the man
good.
In China who won the lottery and didn't tell his wife.
Didn't tell his wife. Then she found out, divorced him and took half of it.
So she should.
I love it. And we want to hear from people.
Yes.
I mean, this is two-pronged. Mm. What secrets do you keep from your partner?
A few.
Yeah, you do, Jack?
Well, he's not great at keeping secrets, but more I think if I buy something, I tend to lie about how much I paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's generally
my... tend to lie about buying it anyway.
Just I say a lot of stuff I get
gifted,
free, but I don't.
Yeah,
I
gifted.
I actually just buy it.
Gifted, got this from a client, got that from a client. Yeah.
Was that bag you got from a client recently actually from a client?
Oh, yeah, that was from a client. Yeah, my watch, that's from a client. I mean, so many things are from clients. And the other thing is, if you did win the lottery, who would you tell? I mean, not just specifically your partner, because people say all the time, I wouldn't tell a soul.
Well, you know why you shouldn't tell a soul? Because once you do, all these people hit you up for cash.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, what I'm saying is, would you tell your immediate family? Like, as in, would you tell Michael's family,
your family? I would whack that up on my Instagram so fast. And then the next thing I would do would be get on a plane and go to Europe.
Oh.
Bye-bye. I'm out. I won.
But then what? It's only going to last a certain amount of time. I'm going to have to come back. No.
But if I get $100 million, some of those lottery.
True.
I'm never coming back.
True.
Ciao.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I don't think I'd tell anyone. I don't even know if I'd tell my husband, to be honest.
Well, I think it's.
I'm like that man in China.
He's going to sue you. Oh, I think that pretty much wraps it up then. We're heading overseas if we win the lottery and you're not telling
your husband. Never, ever hear from us again.
Alicia, it's been a week.
It really has.
Alicia, this week I've been given free rein at Chemist Warehouse to pick my favourite products. So these are things I buy and love. Mm-hmm. And this one, firstly, I have been using for over 20 years. It's the Maybelline Master Precise Liner. And I got told about this at Channel 7 when I first started having my makeup done for TV. And a lot of people use like the little pot of liner and then you get your brush and you've got to kind of...
Oh, you have to be very, very good at it to be able to do that.
And the thing with that is that you dry out the pot because you're constantly taking the lid off and you have to add a little bit of water or something else in there to keep it able to be spread. Yeah, I wasn't going to use that word, but you have. So I use this every single day. I love it and it never dries out.
And
it's really good and it's got such a fine point that you actually can draw a really beautiful line even if you're not that talented or dexterous with your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I love about it is it comes off really easily.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask because there's nothing worse than the ones that stick on and you're wiping and you're wiping and around your eyes. It's sensitive
And I promise you, I have been using that for over 20 years. I absolutely love it.
So I'll be keeping this
one. You can keep that one.
Thank you.
And so that that's about putting your makeup on.
Yes.
And the other thing I love at Chemist Warehouse is this little guy, which I feel like everyone who watches and listens to the pod will know exactly what this is. It's the Garnier Micellar Cleansing Water. And another thing I love about this one is it comes in all these different sizes.
Yeah.
So you can take the little one for travel, which I love.
I do that. I have a huge one in my bathroom and then I have a little one in my little case.
And again, I feel like I'm spilling all the makeup artist secrets, but they all have this in their kit, and there are a lot of cleansers out there on the market and a lot of them are really expensive.
Yeah.
This one is not that. It lasts for ages and it's got no residue, and I don't like that sort of feeling where you've got something on your face.
And is it bad that I also clean my makeup brushes with that?
Do you?
Yes. Well, it's a cleansing water, so I give it a little.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's I use Sard soap.
So tip from me.
You can probably get Sard at Chemist Warehouse as well. They have everything. And Johnson & Johnson, there are so many makeup wipes on the market, all different brands. I've used these ones for years because I have really dry skin.
Yeah.
And I love this, but
What do you do?
Because we wear a lot of makeup in our job, like a ridiculous amount of makeup, I find if I just cleanse, I can't get it all off, especially when they buff in, you know, you do that contoured look and everything's buffed in. It's almost like it's in your pores.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I can get in with the wipe and then I give that a good going over, take everything off, and then I'll go in and do the step cleanse. Routine that you've got.
Yeah.
And you can actually use this guy, which I have done as well when you wear. So you put that on this and it's like everything's
right. Right. So this and this, and we have a marriage.
We do. Yeah. We do. Okay. And please don't at me if that's not what you're supposed to do. These are my Brownlow votes of Chemist Warehouse products. 3, 2, 1. I live by them.
Great.